when Pierce was diagnosed, just because there are so, you're so overwhelmed. It's a completely overwhelming feeling. And so getting medical referrals from people that have a huge wealth of knowledge in this area just makes it so much easier for you as a family dealing with this.
It's time for a solid hour of business insights and strategies for success on Mind Your Business. And here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing, Yitzhak Saflis.
You're tuned to another edition of Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC, airing, broadcasting throughout the New York, New Jersey metro area and worldwide at mybradio.com. And of course, on the 77 WABC app. Yes, thank you, New York. The ratings, we just checked the updated Nielsen ratings. Of course, Nielsen is the global measurement and data analytics company. Our show came in number 3 in New York AM radio in this time slot. That's a big deal. And I thank you, the great listenership of this program, who have come to expect great business content week in and week out, and we certainly strive to deliver. Of course, just to be a mensch, we always open with some thank you. Special thank you to the team here at 77 WABC, James, Glenn, Matt, Chris, also the team at BLMG, Bracha, Miriam, Malki, Michal, Srili, thank you so much. And of course, to some individuals that were instrumental in making tonight's show possible, ZC Schnur, Ethan Schnur, and Jerry Napoli. Tonight's guest, tonight's a very, very special program. We have the honor to be speaking with Michael Schreiber, Nancy Schreiber, and Marjorie Slutsky. They are part of the Brain Tumor Foundation. Let me just give some background here. The Brain Tumor Foundation, BTF, guides and supports patients and families during the turbulent times when their lives are touched by a brain tumor. They raise awareness among medical professionals and the public about the need for early detection. We're going to talk about that. While continuing to offer support groups, medical referrals, and innovative projects for BTF kids. Michael Schreiber is the chairman of the board of the Brain Tumor Foundation. Nancy Schreiber is co-chair of the Parent-to-Parent Support Program. And Marjorie Slutsky is the co-chair of the Parent-to-Parent Support Program. On tonight's show, we're going to talk about building and maintaining an organization. We're also going to talk about the November 17 launch that's right around the corner, the Parent-to-Parent Support Program launch, and the importance of early detection. With that intro, we give a very, very warm welcome. Michael, Nancy, Marjorie, thank you so much for joining me here on Mind Your Business.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, special. I'm going to turn to Michael with the opener here. Tell us a little bit about the Brain Tumor Foundation. What's the backstory? Whenever we have the honor of speaking with people that have stepped up to the plate and thrown the, you know, immersed themselves, dived in head first into launching something of this nature and this scope, there's a backstory. What was the backstory?
Well, my father, who had served as chairman of the board of Maimonides Hospital in Brooklyn, was diagnosed with a brain tumor back in 1993. And he was taken to NYU Medical Center because supposedly there was a new head of neurosurgery who was supposedly one of the best in the country, Dr. Pat Kelly. We went to see Dr. Kelly. He took a look at the scans, and he was very, very straightforward. And he explained that normally what happens with a brain tumor, they'll do some surgery, followed up by radiation and chemotherapy. But at the end of the day, my father had a very aggressive glioblastoma, and that probably was what is going to end my father's life. So it was kind of difficult words to hear, but at the same time, we had to go ahead and see what we could do. My father was 61 and in perfect health, didn't smoke, didn't eat red meat, didn't drink, and that was it. So he did have the surgery. He did have radiation. He did have chemotherapy. The tumor came back, which invariably these type of aggressive tumors do, approximately a year later. And then eventually, about 10 months after that, he had passed away. So that's how it began. Dr. Kelly had contacted me about maybe 2 years after my father passed away and said he would like to see me, that he was going to have a conference at NYU and there were going to be people similarly situated to myself who were touched by brain tumors, whether it was a spouse or a child or a parent. And we had a beautiful initial meeting, and what he wanted to do is anything from find a cure on the ultimate goal end, and in the interim basically just work on patient support, medical referrals. He had a lot of patients who came internationally, so he had told us stories which were pretty from a little Irishman with a slight brogue. He would tell us about Yiddish people coming who speak Yiddish, which I don't think he even knew it was such a language as Yiddish. And, you know, I had asked him, I said, how did they come to you? And he says, the rabbi, which I found, you know, kind of amazing. Again, hearing it from him was really kind of shocking. So he had very, very broad goals on what he wanted to accomplish initially with the Brain Tumor Foundation.
Now, the day-to-day, what does it take to maintain and operate such an organization is my question. And in addition, I want to ask, you know, what is the mission and dynamics the same as when you started some time ago?
Great question. Actually, we have a great back office staff that handles a lot of day-to-day stuff, but we have a tremendous amount of cooperation from doctors, neurologists, neurosurgeons, hospitals in the New York and international and national area. We deal with Children's Hospital down in D.C., a lot of the hospitals here, NYU, Weill Cornell. In fact, the initial president of the Brain Tumor Foundation was Dr. Pat Kelly at NYU, and the second one was Dr. Phil Stieg, the head of neurosurgery over at Weill Cornell, and our current president is Michael Scholder from the Northwell organization. But we have good relationships with a lot of other physicians, and listen, we need them to go ahead because they are actually a point of contact from the patients and their families, and they guide us in what they think the parents and the patients actually need, and we take it from there. The second part of your question, as far as where we started initially, as I mentioned, Dr. Kelly had a very, very broad scope in what he wanted to do. We had to scale back initially, and what we primarily focused on was patient-centric programs. We had Brain Tumor Awareness Day, which was basically an informational, probably 6-7 hour conference. And from the conferences, there would also be breakout sessions with specialized points of interest. After that, our second main focus is really, Dr. Kelly said, I've been doing surgeries for about 30 years. And the outcomes are basically the same. He does the surgery, he does radiation, he does chemotherapy, but invariably 80, 85% of his patients who have glioblastomas die. It cuts a little bit better, and the rehab is a little bit easier on the patient. They get out of the hospital in days instead of weeks. He says, but they still die. He said, I think what we need is early detection. He says, women have it with mammographies, men have it with their prostate. By gosh, he said, why don't we go ahead and get them scanned? So he actually came up with the concept of a mobile MRI unit, like bringing Muhammad to the mountain to Muhammad. He said, you know what? He said, we're going to get this unit. We spoke to both Siemens and General Electric, and they have it. And we took it throughout the city, and we got many, many people scanned, primarily lower income areas and where the medical necessity is there, but people really are reluctant to go. We started off with that, and it was a tremendous success. We also have fixed site radiology centers where people can go. By the way, they're both free. We were scanning for free. We were fixed site for free. We have radiologists there. They walk out with a disc, so they have the results, which they'll keep with them in the event there's a problem. First of all, we will notify their primary care doctor, which they need to register, and they'll also have a baseline. So in the event they do have something, they can take a look in a year, two, three, to see if there's growth and see what the status is. So it was very, very well received. In addition to that, you know, we continue to evolve, and we noticed that there was definitely a lack in the pediatric community. There were a lot of pediatric brain tumors, and, you know, with science and technology, we wound up coming up with the concept of an app, which was very, very good, both for the kids and the siblings and the parents. It's wonderful. It's still in its infancy, but it's been really well received at this point.
Before I go to my next question, I want to address that to Nancy. I just have to ask this question just on an emotional level. Is there any idea of how many actual lives you've saved to date? And of course, it will be beyond what you know about, but, you know, I mean, imagine the feeling. There are people alive today because they got tested.
Well, right. I mean, there have been people, right? Even if it's not a brain tumor, there's some inconsistency in their brain that would have gone undetected. And then, you know, they can get treatment for whatever it is. So it's not only malignant brain tumors. It's so many other things that are inconsistencies. Hmm. So, I mean, the numbers must be countless. I can't even imagine.
We, if I can interrupt, we actually had someone who we were scanning on the mobile MRI unit.
Mm-hmm.
They stopped the scan and they called 911 and they wound up taking him to the hospital.
On the spot.
He wrote a beautiful letter and he basically said, "You saved my life."
Straight up.
In addition to that, you know, we found other things, but you know, you want to talk about saving a person's life and feeling, you know, a direct benefit immediately, you know, not something in 6 months or a year or two.
Right.
This guy, he would have died and he was alive. I think it was, an aneurysm or pre-aneurysm, and he would have died. So, you know, that's an ancillary benefit. It wasn't a brain tumor, but, you know, that's a life save.
Hmm. Nancy, the Brain Tumor Foundation sponsors a series of support groups. Perhaps you could tell us a little bit about the groups, what is currently active, and who benefits directly from these groups.
Sure. So in conjunction with Cancer Care, BTF right now is running two groups, two support groups at this time. And then there will be a third group we hope to have up and running early next year that's in conjunction with the Ferkhaus Social Work School and Weill Cornell. The first group that's running now is a phone support group, and that's for people who have malignant brain tumors. The sessions are about 30 minutes and they run for 8 weeks. And the second one that's also up and running now is an online support group for caregivers. And the thing about the caregivers group is that it's a little more flexible, so because their schedules are so different, you know, it gives them a way to kind of go to the group while still doing whatever it is that they're doing, taking care of a patient with a brain tumor. And those are about 15 weeks. And what's interesting is that people form such intense bonds with the other people in the groups that they re-up for another one and another one and another one, which is really, really great and really beneficial. The members of, there's usually about 12 to 15 members in every group, and they're all vetted so that everybody's comfortable with the people that join the groups. The third group is going to be for people with non-malignant brain tumors, and I'll talk about that a little bit later, but we're hoping to have that up in 2021. We did before COVID. I mean, the COVID doesn't have to do with why we're on the phone and online, but we did used to run face-to-face groups, and doing it this way, we're able to broaden our reach. So national, international, we can reach more people in a group where it used to just be where everybody would have to be in New York.
Right.
The groups can, you know, take place with people from all over the world. So,
And in fact, that leads really to my next question. If I may, I'm going to turn to Marjorie on this. How are these groups being structured given the fact that, you know, with COVID-19, remote communication is kind of the method of communication these days?
Exactly. So first, I just wanted to give you a little bit about my background. Yeah. I am the stepmother of a child who was diagnosed at the age of 14 with a brain tumor and unfortunately lost his battle last September after 3 years of fighting and many types of surgeries, treatments, ran the gamut. So that's how I became involved. I was initially involved as Michael and Nancy and I have been friends since college. And so I knew a lot about the Brain Tumor Foundation before actually the day of the horrible diagnosis, when I immediately called Michael and he immediately sprung into action with the whole Brain Tumor Foundation behind us. So I just wanted to give you a little bit of background before I started to tell you about how we're working these networks, seeing that COVID is here. And having a brain tumor in a child, an adult, anywhere, adolescents, which run from age 0 to 20, is very isolating initially anyway. So these kids are used to being isolated from their friends, isolated from their schoolmates, isolated from, in certain cases, siblings, if they're getting certain kinds of treatment. So these groups and especially the app has really allowed these children who are not on their own, but kind of isolated, to interact with other children through the app and explain the disease. It sort of explains it to them. It sort of, you know, explains it to their siblings. So all of these networking and groups help people deal with the many different aspects of having a brain tumor.
I know Nancy touched on this before, but Marjorie, especially for a child, how important is it to have a community, to have others who are in the same unfortunate situation, to know there are others that are fighting the same battle?
Oh, it's incredibly important. And not only do you have other children involved that are using the app, but you also have a whole team of people that are helping you, from nutritionists, physical therapists, child life specialists, psychologists, and these networks help you navigate through the entire process. And certainly for a child, Pierce, who was 14, it was a little bit difficult for a teenager, because there's a lot for children, and the teenagers kind of have more issues with communication. They want to be with their friends more. It's a whole different, you know, set of circumstances.
My guests this evening are Michael Schreiber, Nancy Schreiber, and Marjorie Slutsky of the Brain Tumor Foundation. We're talking about so many different aspects, from running such a foundation, from the vision behind it, and to many of the programs that are offered by the Brain Tumor Foundation. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
The future that you envision for yourself and your business is totally attainable. You need support along the way. And as entrepreneurs, having a team around you that supports you in achieving what that vision is vital. And that is something that the Covenant Group is committed to delivering.
Most of the times that people come to the Covenant Group, usually it's that they want to enjoy what they're doing, they want to have more quality time, or they want to have financial independence or financial security. My name is Keith Deming.
I'm Norm Traynor.
And we educate and coach entrepreneurs
to build a high-performance business.
We are, in essence, design engineers, and we're helping entrepreneurs design the business that's right for them and then execute.
The idea of having somebody coach you through the hard times in the business and think through what it is to have an inventory of client activity and what it is to build a base of revenue and to think like a business person, it's just not common in our industry.
My name is Mark Parton.
I'm Dean Harder.
I'm Alvin Brown.
I'm Jay Langford.
My name is Luke Godet.
I'm Andrew McKinnon, and I'm building a high-performance business.
And I'm building a high-performance business.
And I'm building a high-performance business.
Building a high-performance business.
Learn more by visiting www.covenantgroup.com.
Finally, a payroll service that does things your way. At Brands Paycheck, you're not a number, you're a partner. Brands Paycheck's personalized payroll solutions ensure that your business receives your financial information the way you want it. From complete payroll services and time tracking to benefits administration and HR solutions, Brands Paycheck helps streamline your business's payroll process and maximize productivity. Call 888-757-3020. That's 888-757-3020 to schedule a free consultation. Brands Paycheck services a wide range of industries nationwide, including hospitality, transportation, B2B, B2C, nonprofit, finance, retail, healthcare, real estate, and more. Learn why companies nationwide rely on Brands Paycheck. Call 888-757-3020. That's 888-757-3020 to schedule a free consultation today, or visit online at BrandsPaycheck.com. That's BrandsPaycheck.com.
Missed an episode of Mind Your Business? We've got you covered. Check out our YouTube channel, Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis, to hear interviews with business executives and thought leaders whenever and wherever you want. That's Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC. Tonight's show is a really special show, a really meaningful show. We are speaking with executives at the Brain Tumor Foundation, Michael Schreiber, the chairman of the board, Nancy Schreiber, co-chair of the Parent-to-Parent Support Program, and Marjorie Slutsky, co-chair of the Parent-to-Parent Support Program. Again, thank you so much for carving out some time from a very hectic schedule for joining me here on Mind Your Business. Thank you.
Thank you.
Michael, the Brain Tumor Foundation's cornerstone program is the Early Detection Campaign. How did that get off the ground? What does it take to maintain it? And why, I'm going to ask just the open question that so few people understand, why is early detection so critical?
According to I'm not a physician, but according to Dr. Pat Kelly, who has done probably over 6,000 brain tumor surgeries, he's throughout his 30 plus year career, he said, look, I'm able to go ahead and cut a little bit more precise due to stereotactic radiosurgery. He said in the recovery from the patient, instead of being, you know, a week or more, he says they're out in a few days. He says, but at the end of the day, the vast majority of patients who come to him, it's too late. The tumor has either grown too much. It's against vital organs. And he seemed to say that, you know what, women have been doing mammographies for quite some time. Men are getting their PSA prostates checked. He said, by gosh, he said, why don't we go ahead and have early detection for brain tumors? He also mentioned all tumors for that matter, but obviously being a chief world-renowned neurosurgeon, mm-hmm. he was concerned about that. Mm-hmm. So he said, we need to have a mass screening of population. Obviously, it's difficult, if not impossible, to get people to go to hospitals. He said, so why don't we come up with the concept of a mobile MRI? He said, technology will allow us to build a smaller MRI unit. We could put it in a tractor trailer and it can travel around and it can go ahead and do scans, which is what we wound up doing. We wound up being able to get a unit that would go around initially in the city, the five boroughs, and they would do scans of people. And the people would leave with a CD. We would also send the results. So immediately we would contact them if there was something there that needed to be brought to their attention immediately. We were doing that for quite a while. We were compiling a bunch of scans. At the same time, you know, the ultimate goal is to find a cure for brain cancer, brain tumor. So we also had the people go ahead and fill out a questionnaire. We were working with Dr. Al Newgut, a world-renowned epidemiologist over at the Columbia Presbyterian Mailman Institute, and came up with a questionnaire and trying to find out, were you exposed to chemicals? Do you live near electrical lines? Do you have it in your family? To try to come up with what why people have brain tumors. Eventually, if you find out why they have brain tumors, hopefully you'll be able to go ahead and find the ultimate cure. The mobile MRI unit after New York City, we were able to go ahead and get sponsorships for $50,000, because let's be honest, I mean, money is what makes the world go round. Yeah. $50,000, we were going ahead and we were able to offer sponsorships for a city. The unit would stay there for a few weeks. We would get unbelievable promotional from all of the radio stations, television stations. And once people heard the offer of free brain scans, unbelievable results. I mean, everybody, we were booked from early morning to late night. We have done so far major cities. We were in Philadelphia, we were in Boston, we were in Miami, we were in the Hamptons, we were in New York City a couple times. We have plans to bring it out to Chicago, out west, San Francisco. My family, myself, my wife, and my kids, we sponsored one unit. The unit went to Boston, which is where we met. We went to college. My daughter, Alexandra, just ran the virtual New York City Marathon, and she was able to raise over $50,000. Mm-hmm. She's also going to sponsor a unit. We don't know what city yet. You know, with COVID, there's been a little bit of difficulty logistic-wise, but that's basically what we're looking to do.
I would even say $50,000 to bring it to a city is not a lot of money. I mean, just and you keep it there for more than a few days. I don't even know how you're able to do it at that competitive rate, but that's...
It's there for almost 2 weeks. And if you would see the unit, you know, you're talking about a 60, 70 foot tractor trailer. It has its own power source. So we need a generator.
Of course.
We need permits. Naturally, the largest cities, you need a dedicated spot. You need permits. We need security. We need a radiologist. We need technic. If you would see the unit, it's massive. It just, you know, you shake your head and say, oh, it's unbelievable, you know, what they're able to go ahead and do nowadays.
Michael, the early detection program is a fundamental part of the major research initiative. Can you explain who's involved and what does the Brain Tumor Foundation hope to achieve through the program?
Dr. Newgut at the Mailman Institute, which is the division of Columbia University Medical Center, in the beginning, in fact, we had him speak once at Brain Tumor Awareness Day, and he was skeptical, which is good. You don't want someone on the same side as you saying, yeah, I think it's a great idea. He said, you know what? I don't necessarily know if brain tumors are caused by X, Y, and Z. He says the only way to find out, him being an epidemiologist, He said, we need facts. So he said, we're going to design an IRB, which is basically the good housekeeping seal of approval for medical issues. He said, let's come up with an IRB and we'll have questions. And again, we'll try to find out if people live near or under electrical lines, if they've been exposed to certain chemicals, whether it's familial. And he said, we'll find out what maybe cell phones. We asked them, do you use a cell phone? If you do, is it the left ear? Is it the right ear? So, you know, again, if you come up with a pattern and we'll eventually find out who has brain tumors and why they have it. And after that, hopefully the ultimate goal is a cure. For me, you know, having my father pass away from a brain tumor, actually, my mother actually had one as well. It wasn't her primary cause, but, you know, I have to tell you that my ultimate goal would only be, you know, finding a cure. Anything short of that is nice, but not the enough. End game yeah. for me.
Yeah. Hmm. Nancy and Marjorie, can you tell us what virtual programs have you managed to introduce and modify in light of the circumstances of the pandemic, COVID-19?
So we are kicking off, Marjorie spoke to it a little earlier, the Parents of Parent program. Actually, it's launching November 17th, and it's for parents, caregivers with kids who are diagnosed with brain tumors. And our hope is to help parents navigate the scary waters of that diagnosis that just, you know, is shocking and life-changing. And, you know, Marjorie can speak better to that because she really did live it.
Right. So there's going to be a series of three different conversations, if you will, mm-hmm. that will be the sign up is actually on the website. And you'll be able to sign up for it. We hope to get about 10 to 15 different families or caregivers to get into a conversation about several different things. My child has just been diagnosed with a brain tumor. Now what? What our ultimate goal and how the conversation started with the people here at the Brain Tumor Foundation was, what can we do for you? How can we get into this special community of people and help them? Because once you have that diagnosis, you become part of this community that you can't even imagine you'd ever be a part of. And then you have to navigate all of the different directions of where you're going. Surgery, do you, you know, get a second opinion? Do you then once you have the surgery, what kind of treatment will you get? So we're going to have on this panel of people in these parent-to-parent groups, neuropsychologists, child life specialists, surgeons, nutritionists, physical therapists, all from all different aspects of what you need to do to deal with this particular situation. Again, it was created to help families, and that's our goal here, is to help people once they have the diagnosis to help them and help them navigate through all the decisions.
And, you know, like as we said before, because it will be an online group, mm-hmm. it's a broad reach. You know, you don't have to be here to be involved. You could be anywhere, so which is really nice and will let us reach more, you know, people more easily.
And ultimately what we'd like to do is build a library, if you will, of video chats that you can land on the Brain Tumor Foundation page, and you can actually search nutrition, physical therapy, and then look at the conversations and see other people sharing ideas of what they went through and how they face different situations. So that, again, is the goal of having this community.
Before we go further, what is the exact website address?
I don't know if you need www.
He's aging himself, right?
Braintumorfoundation.org. We could also be reached by phone, 212-265-2401.
That was impressive.
And the website again, if you could please repeat it?
www.braintumorfoundation.org.
Nancy, given the isolation that many people have been facing these months, how do you help the caregivers of the brain tumor patients?
How do we help the caregivers? Well, we do have that one specific group that runs 15 weeks now for caregivers. I mean, it is isolating, as Marjorie said earlier. Before you take COVID into account, it's an isolating thing. That's, you know, that diagnosis changes your life forever. And it changes the caregiver's life forever too, because you're, that's now what you're consumed with. So I think that this particular group that is focused really on the caregivers, because it's more flexible, because they're able to kind of make it work within their schedule, it gives them, you know, a little bit of maybe solace or be talking to other people that are in the same situation so you don't feel like you're so alone.
My guests this evening are a number of executives at the Brain Tumor Foundation, in particular Michael Schreiber, chairman of the board, Nancy Schreiber, co-chair of the Parent-to-Parent Support Program at BTF, the Brain Tumor Foundation, and Marjorie Slutsky, co-chair of the Parent-to-Parent Support Program. In case you're just tuning in, no worries. By Tuesday morning, this entire episode will be up permanently on the on the platform for this program, mybradio.com, mybradio.com. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
We're all in a rush these days. We're running to meetings, to finish a project. When do we have time to educate ourselves? Enter Business Class, the free daily 60-second video clip featuring advice from C-level executives and business giants such as Beth Comstock, Jeffrey Hazlett, Joe Hart, Shep Hyken, and many more. Follow us on Instagram at Business Class Clips. That's at Business Class Clips on Instagram. Or sign up for our WhatsApp daily broadcast by texting sign up to 718-594-6519 on WhatsApp. These free 1 minute or shorter business class video clips cover building trust, finance, leadership, marketing, branding, goal setting, among many other primary business topics. Follow us on Instagram at Business Class Clips. That's at Business Class Clips on Instagram, or sign up for our WhatsApp daily broadcast by texting sign up to 718-594-6519 on WhatsApp. Again, text sign up on WhatsApp to 718-594-6519 or follow at Business Class Clips on Instagram to receive your free business class every day from celebrity business leaders. Business Class on Instagram or WhatsApp. Get ready to get ahead.
Every accounting firm has a history. The history of Saul Friedman and Company spans 45 years of commitment, dependability, and reliability for our clients. A client of Saul Friedman & Company is never alone in making critical business decisions. Behind each business move stands the full resources of an accounting firm with the financial know-how to inspire confidence and ensure success. Call 718-232-1111 now to find out how Saul Friedman & Company can help you grow your business. There's a reason our tagline is accounting with accountability. That is what we believe in, and that is the ethic we follow. For a free consultation, call 718-232-1111. That's 718-232-1111. Or visit our website at snfco.com. That's snfco.com.
If you're installing hardwood or SPC or WPC vinyl flooring, do it with the highest quality products. PC Hardwood Floors, the hardwood flooring leader, has been supplying flooring professionals with the highest quality flooring materials for over 40 years. The knowledgeable team at PC Hardwood Floors will ensure that your materials will arrive at your job site by our own fleet trucks, hassle-free. With 7 locations in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut, and next-day delivery, PC Hardwood Floors is the tri-state area's preferred full-service hardwood flooring distributor. Call 866-369-3232 to find out how PC Hardwood Floors can help you find the right hardwood products and finishing supplies for all your flooring projects. For a free consultation, call 866-369-3232. That's 866-369-3232. Or visit us at pchardwoodfloors.com. That's pchardwoodfloors.com.
Missed an episode of Mind Your Business? We've got you covered. Check out our YouTube channel, Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis, to hear interviews with business executives and thought leaders whenever and wherever you want. That's Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saftless right here on 77 WABC. Tonight's a very special show. I have the honor of interviewing Michael Schreiber, Chairman of the Board of the Brain Tumor Foundation, Nancy Schreiber, Co-Chair of the Parent-to-Parent Support Program at BTF, and Marjorie Slutsky, the Co-Chair of the Parent-to-Parent Support Program. Again, thank you for joining me here on Mind Your Business. And before I go to my questions, how can people find out more about your wonderful organization?
Online, our website is braintumorfoundation.org. Again, that's braintumorfoundation.org, or our telephone number, 212-265-2401.
And by the way, when that amazing mobile unit goes around, on the website, is there an update if, let's say, at the time that you become aware that it's going to be, you know, heading to Chicago or whatever it is there advance notice for people?
Everything's on our website. You could do scheduling, you know, a couple weeks in advance. But as soon as it's up and ready, obviously with COVID, we're a little bit behind the eight ball. In addition, we do have connections with fixed site radiology centers, which is also free. But obviously people have to go there instead of the unit coming to them.
So, Michael, what new research or treatment is available for brain tumors?
They do have, obviously, drugs, which are experimental. They do have personalized clinical trials. And every day they're working on certain things. However, the mortality rate of fatal brain tumors, specifically glioblastomas, is still very, very bad. It's 80-85% of the people who wound up coming down with it eventually die within, you know, 2 years. But we're hopeful that, that there will be a cure.
Are there any other significant findings or progress in this area?
Unfortunately, not. It's been basically the same. The surgery and recovery is a little bit quicker and a little bit more precise. But if you take a look at some of the stats, I mean, you know, it's pretty devastating. Although there's probably less than 100,000 primary brain tumors diagnosed each year. It's the number one cancer killer in young adults. It's the number one cancer killer in peds. It's the numbers are very, very devastating.
Nancy, what resources are available for people with non-malignant brain tumors?
Well, so we're putting together a group for non-malignant brain tumor sufferers, which I spoke to a little bit earlier and will hopefully be up and running early 2021. You know, 69% of all brain tumors diagnosed are non-malignant, which I was shocked when I read that, you know, when I found that number, but it's the truth. And 64% of those affected are women. So it's a big number. And the problem for these people with non-malignant tumors is they're sometimes forgotten. It almost seems like their tumor is not as important because it's not, you know, malignant, which when it's malignant, as Michael said earlier, it's the diagnosis to going toward your treatment, it's got to be immediate. So they feel maybe a little bit left out. They're not as, you know, it's not as urgent, but most times these tumors require surgery as well. If left untreated at all, they can turn malignant. And what happens is after surgery, it becomes kind of a chronic disease. You know, my brother suffered from an acoustic neuroma, I think about 8 years ago. And while he's now fine, he has profound hearing loss in one ear and he's dizzy and he lost his sense of smell. So these things are ongoing and it just, you know, they need their own, I feel like they need their own group so that their issues can be dealt with directly as opposed to lumping them together. So like I said, that will be up and running hopefully early 2021 and will give patients with non-malignant tumors a place where they can get the support that they need. So separating out the two groups will be, I think, beneficial to everybody.
So Marjorie, the Brain Tumor Foundation offers medical referrals. Why is that so important?
As I spoke to you earlier about the fact that once you are diagnosed and surgery is usually emergent at that point, you then have to make so many choices about how you're going to move forward in your treatment plan and what is best for your child. So it's always great. I know I use the Brain Tumor Foundation, our family, when Pierce was diagnosed, just because you're so overwhelmed. It's a completely overwhelming feeling. And so getting medical referrals from people that have a huge wealth of knowledge in this area just makes it so much easier for you as a family dealing with this. I could call the organization and say, I need this, this, and this. And not only medical referrals, but just all kinds of different referrals as to how to navigate through the process, because it's, again, and it's always good to get a second opinion to see, you know, what other doctors have to say. I think you really need to do that as a caregiver.
Michael, how can others get involved in the work of the Brain Tumor Foundation?
First of all, feel free to contact us at braintumorfoundation.org. That's braintumorfoundation.org. They can contact us by phone, 212-265-2401. They could help with support groups. They could help being the ambassadors when we have the mobile MRI, meet and greet, so to speak. We usually have a dinner every year. This year, because of COVID, we didn't. So certainly we need help there. And there are special events throughout the year where they can help. In addition, the New York City Marathon, we get a tremendous amount of support and runners. And, you know, as far as next year, we hope it's going to be live, not virtual. And we can always use help with that.
Michael, earlier in the program, you talked about bringing the mobile unit to a city around the country. Perhaps you can, and I was shocked that you could bring it to a city for 2 weeks for only $50,000. That I don't know how you pull it off at that. For those few dollars, they're getting such bang for the buck. Perhaps you can talk about that also. And we encourage people out there to get involved, of course, in the foundation, but in particular, perhaps you could talk about the mobile unit and bring it to a community around the country.
We only count on private people and foundations for money. We do not get any support from any municipalities, any governments. However, we'd be happy to accept if they would give us. So basically, we're just counting on people whose lives have been touched by a brain tumor. And invariably, when I speak to people and I mention that I'm chairman of the board of the Brain Tumor Foundation, they say, yo, my neighbor, my mother, my aunt, my cousin, it always happens. So, you know, we really do count on the generosity of people. And I do realize that there are loads of charitable organizations, health-oriented and cultural. But obviously, at the end of the day, you know, you take something as far as brain tumors, which are, you know, somewhat lethal. We need all the help we can get. As soon as the COVID virus subsides somewhat, we're going to be able to go ahead and take the unit out. As I mentioned earlier, my daughter, Alexandra, had sponsored one. So we'll figure out what city we'll go to. Maybe we'll hit the West Coast because we haven't been there in a while. And that's what we're really looking forward to. In addition, you know, also we're working with the Mailman Institute of Columbia University, who is co-sponsoring our research project. They're putting all the numbers together. And that also is an expense for us. So we, like every other organization, we need as much funding as we could get.
Perhaps you could talk about the behind the scenes of an organization. I mean, you have the mobile unit. There are people calling in. You're in touch with medical professionals around the country and beyond. What does behind the scenes at such an organization look like?
Well, we have a great back office staff who takes care of a lot of this stuff. In addition to them, I mean, we couldn't be successful without relationships. And we do have relationships. As I mentioned earlier, the past presidents of the Brain Tumor Foundation were Dr. Pat Kelly, who was the chief neurosurgeon over at NYU. Dr. Phil Stieg, the chief at Weill Cornell, replaced him. And now we have Michael Schulder from Northwell. In addition, we have relationships inside of Weill Cornell. We have Ted Schwartz. We have Mark Swedane. NYU, we have John Golfinos. Children's Hospital, Al Newgut, who I mentioned is a superstar as far as epidemiology. So between those people, neurologists, child life specialists, other hospitals, both in New York and Children's Hospital down in D.C., the relationships that we have really help us to further our reach.
So now I turn to Marjorie. I understand that there's a creation of an app to help ease the anxiety of children affected by brain tumors. Perhaps you could talk about that app. I mean, it's always rewarding when an organization leverages technology in order to benefit people.
Yes, this is an amazing thing. And Pierce, my stepson, actually had some input in the development of the app. So it makes it incredibly special to us and to the whole organization. It's actually interactive for the children in care. It helps them understand a little bit more about their diagnosis, as well as the different types of treatment that they might be undergoing. So with COVID, virtual health programs have become, you know, they're just being encouraged because unfortunately
that's just the way it is. Yeah,
this crazy life right now. So the app it allows the child to experience the joy through music and laughter. And there's a character called Hoffy, who is a sloth, that actually guides them through the programs. And it helps also alleviate some fear and anxiety that they might be experiencing, that they are experiencing during this process. It also helps out with the siblings of patients, so that they can also get involved and understand a little bit more about what they're going through. And it will be used, right now it's being tested in the hospitals. It will become available on Apple and Google in the beginning of 2021. And it'll also be part of research, the app, for furthering the program.
Sure, it's a way of people interacting. As far as for people to keep in touch and to know when it's released, I imagine it will be announced on the website, correct?
Yeah.
And again, what is the website of the foundation?
It will be announced on the braintumorfoundation.org. Braintumorfoundation.org, and it will be announced. And also, there's a sponsorship opportunity with the app that you can sponsor Hoffy the sloth by making a donation, and it's another way that we raise funds for the organization.
And how would people reach out? Again, what's your direct number?
The direct number, Michael,
your number, honey.
212-265-2401.
Nancy, on Tuesday, the 17th, November 17th, the Parent-to-Parent Support Program is being launched. Perhaps you could just, again, I know we spoke about it earlier in the show, but it's so meaningful. Perhaps you could talk about it.
It is so meaningful. You know, let me first say the way that you will be able to get in touch with that would be BTF, parent, the number two, parent, .org. Again, BTF, parent, the number two, parent, .org. And we are really excited about this. I watched my friend struggle with her stepson, Pierce, and the isolation and the questions and the day-to-day, what's now, I think it's going to bring a lot of help to so many people. And it's very close to our hearts. I mean, we've all been touched more times than we care to admit by brain tumors, you know, cancer, non-cancer, but brain tumors, and it shouldn't be this way. So we're hoping that this will help all these people who are affected navigate and get a little bit of comfort in a time that's just, you know, a horrifying time for people to experience.
What a special show. What a special show. Speaking with the executives at the Brain Tumor Foundation, in particular Michael Schreiber, chairman of the board, Nancy Schreiber, co-chair of the Parent-to-Parent Support Program, and Marjorie Slutsky, the co-chair of the Parent-to-Parent Support Program. As we approach...
Adopt a Hoffy.
You can adopt a Hoffy.
Wow.
So,
and again, the number. People are watching this especially. Remember, many people are going to be watching this first on YouTube. They didn't hear the broadcast. What number can they reach out to the organization to sponsor Hoffy there? Look at him.
They can contact us at braintumorfoundation.org. That's braintumorfoundation.org, or contact us via phone, 212-265-2401.
As we approach the close, I would like to turn to each of you to share perhaps a final thought, a reflection, a moment with the listeners here on 77 WABC. First, Michael.
I mean, one story that I can share that's very, very obviously close to my heart is that my youngest daughter, youngest child, Alexandra, was complaining about headaches, and being a 18, 19, 20 year old girl, you listen to a lot of complaints about a lot of stuff. So you kind of just shrug it off. And we happened to be scanning down by the World Trade Center in a couple months. I said, listen, if you're really feeling bad, we'll get you a scan and that'll be the end of it. And naturally, I didn't think there was anything. I thought it was just Alexandra being Alexandra. So we schedule the MRI and she goes in and I'm figuring everything's fine. I go down. It's a beautiful day in Manhattan. They're walking around. I go back to the office and I get a call from our executive director at the Brain Tumor Foundation. She said, are you sitting down? I'm like, yes. She says, I just want to tell you about Alexandra. And it's a devastating thing just hearing, you know, I could tell by her voice that something was wrong. I said, yeah. She said, it's nothing to be concerned about, which obviously only makes you very, very concerned. They found something on Alexandra's scan. And it was just, you sweat. The feeling is just, I'm like, oh my God, this is all over again with my father. Now it's my daughter. What is it? They don't think it's anything to worry about. You'll get a call later from the radiologist. In the meantime, I'm waiting for the radiologist. And a couple hours later, I get hold of her, and they say it's a very small, I forgot the centimeter, pineal cyst, which is in the middle of the brain. And, you know, I'm listening, but I'm not really listening because when you hear things like that,
you're numb.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I mean, you know, when I went with my father, I'm very good. I took down notes. But normally what happens, and I've heard this from doctors subsequent to that, they say they tell the patient, they tell the caregiver who goes with them, and they repeat it. And they'll 90 times out of 100, they'll get a call later that afternoon. Hi, this is Joe Smith. I was there earlier. Could you tell me what did you say? And he said, I repeated it, and they just don't hear. It was really like that. I was a caregiver. And they said, it's nothing to worry about. P.S. I got worried. We wound up going to a neurologist. And he basically said, look, like 20% of the people have these pineal cysts. They're really no big deal. Naturally, they're no big deal when it's someone else. But when it's your child, everything is a big deal. So he said, we'll get her a follow-up scan in 6 to 8 months. And if nothing's there, it's probably nothing. And it just really won't grow. We think a lot of people have it and don't worry about it. So those 6 months, I was concerned. We wound up getting another scan after that and everything's fine. They said, look, she's fine. Don't worry about it. If there's a problem, there's a problem. P.S. The headaches had nothing to do with that. They said she might just have headaches from being a kid, staying up, school.
She needed glasses.
She needed glasses. You know, you can't really tell. But the fact is, you know, we had the luxury of having a mobile MRI that we could just go in and make an appointment. And, you know, listen, it was the best outcome we could have hoped for. Had she had something more serious, I guess we would have been able to deal with it sooner rather than later. But, you know, it was just crazy that going through my head was the story, you know, chairman of the Brain Tumor Foundation daughter have a brain tumor. You know, after my father, my mother was still alive. It was just, you know, an unbelievable story, you know, from a personal standpoint. Mm.
Nancy, any final reflections?
Well, he took my story.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding. But I will say, for me, I mean, we were in our early 30s when Michael's dad was diagnosed. I had just had my second child. And, you know, it was horrifying at that time. We went through it. It was 2 years. Then the Brain Tumor Foundation, you know, started. Then my brother had, and then Marjorie called me one day. Her steps, you know, you feel like, how can this be that all these people surrounding us, and then my daughter Alexandra? So, you know, it is so close to our hearts, but it must be so close to so many other people's hearts as well, because clearly we're not the only ones. You know, it's just it is such a big deal, and this offers so much support for so many people that I hope people will recognize it and benefit from it.
And Marjorie, and certainly talk about that cute little teddy next to you. Yes.
Yeah, I can only say that I hope that, and I know that this Brain Tumor Foundation parent-to-parent organization, which you can reach at btfparent2parent.org, btfparent2parent.org, will be so meaningful to so many families. And I know that for myself and my husband, Stephen, and Pierce's mother, Alyssa, having a community support us and give us as much information as possible is really so helpful and comforting in a time when you feel like your entire world is crashing in. And I know that we will be able to help so many families, and it's really become, you know, something so important to us and what we want to do in Pierce's honor and memory.
What a special presentation here on Mind Your Business. We were honored to be joined with Michael Schreiber, Chairman of the Board of the Brain Tumor Foundation, Nancy Schreiber, Co-Chair of the Parent-to-Parent Support Program at the Brain Tumor Foundation, and Marjorie Slutsky, Co-Chair of the Parent-to-Parent Support Program. In case you tuned in late, no worries. By Tuesday morning, this entire episode will be up, including the video episode on YouTube, of course, that will be up permanently, and you can access it easily by going to mybradio.com. This wraps up a great edition of Mind Your Business. Tune in again next Sunday night for another great edition of Mind Your Business right here on 77 WABC.
77 WABC Radio presents Mind Your Business, hosted by founder and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Safliff. Mind Your Business focuses on business and marketing strategies for success. Tune in every Sunday night for this intriguing weekly radio show that's chock full of business insights and marketing strategies that will help you get ahead of the game. Host Yitzhak Safliff has been producing pioneering and creative marketing work for over two decades. He leads a team of marketing experts who help their clients build their brands and grow their businesses. Now, he and his guests offer their business and marketing expertise to you every Sunday night on Mind Your Business.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.